Welcome to a Sunny Side Up Life podcast, a show for the woman who is ready to live an abundant life full of freedom and positivity. I'm Sammy Womack, and I'm on a mission to help you break free from survival mode, gain financial freedom, stay motivated, and focus on what matters most. Join the movement, and let's start living on the brighter side of life together. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. This topic today, how to get your husband on board with budgeting, is one that I've kind of procrastinated on just because it is such a strong topic. Like, it is so, it's so important, I think. And I, it's just kind of a lot of pressure on me, I feel like, to speak on an issue that is so, so important to your life and your family's life. But in the same respect, it needs to be talked about, I guess. So I am going to do my best to cover a topic that I'm going to try to generalize it as much as possible. So obviously everything that I say isn't going to apply to every specific partner. And I'm going to be using the word husband and partner kind of interchangeably, because I feel like this can apply to your partner regardless of if it's a husband or a wife, or getting a reluctant partner on board with budgeting is probably a more appropriate title, but nonetheless. So bear with me on the title. So let's just dig in. I have so many notes to cover, so this might turn into a long one, but stick with me, because what we're going to discuss today could potentially change the course of your marriage, the course of your family in general, all right? So you might want to bust out with some notes, and I want you to go into this conversation with an open heart and a willingness to listen, okay? So I think, let's start with my best advice. I think that ultimately my best advice, and this is usually kind of my go-to advice when someone sends me a DM or sends me an email asking me this question, because it's something that I get asked probably every week, because it's something that a lot of us struggle with, and it's something that I struggle with. So no going into this, that this is something that my husband and I struggled with as well. So a lot of this is speaking from experience, as everything else that I speak on. So I think that my best advice, my go-to advice, is to show him or her, show him your true heart. Show him that your heart is ultimately for the good of the family, and that you're not being selfish by wanting him to get on board, by wanting to do this budget in the first place, that you're not doing it just for yourself, that you're not being greedy with your money, you're not becoming a miser, like hoarding the money or anything like that. But that you are ultimately thinking about your future together, as a couple, and your future for your family as a whole, and that your heart is in the right place with it. So go into it with a very open, loving heart, a heart for your family as a whole, okay? And I think it's really important to just kind of set the tone, like set your emotions, like just be mentally and emotionally prepared before you go into this, right? And I think it's really important to, you know, stay calm throughout this conversation, especially this first conversation about, hey, I want to do this budgeting thing. And that's a really scary first conversation. I remember mine and Daniel's first conversation about it. And he was more kind of skeptical at first, like, okay, you know, you say we're going to change, like, because we had tried to budget so many times before. I had said, okay, we're going to get serious this time. And then I would just kind of fall off the wagon. And I, you know, just the way our family set up, your family might be the opposite, but I'm kind of the one who sets the tone when we're kind of doing a new change. So if we're starting to kind of be more active or kind of eat healthier or go to bed earlier or whatever the tone is, whatever we're kind of trying to change in our family's structure, it's usually me who sets the tone. I think mostly just because Daniel is gone half the time with work and just the way the family is structured. Your family might be the opposite. Your husband might be the one who sets the tone. But either way, I usually am the one who sets the tone. So I have to go into it calm and positive. I have to go into it not lecturing, not pushing, you know? If you go into it starting a fight from the get-go, if you go into it with that tone, with that in the back of your mind, like, it's all his fault. I'm going to show him he's screwing up everything for the whole family. Or you go into it lecturing like it's your fault. You spend all this money, or you're pushing like you're the one that needs to change. Right? You get the idea. That's not going to be productive. Okay. And I'm speaking from experience here. Daniel was kind of more, he's much more of the free spirit. He's much more of the one that's usually like, hey, let's go out to eat, or let's buy this thing, or let's do this thing. And I'm usually more of, I would rather just stay home. I would rather just save the money, which back in the day, I definitely had my flaws with money as well. I'm much more of like an emotional shopper. So I won't shop. And then I'll go and just drop like a couple hundred dollars on a bunch of ridiculous stuff. That was kind of me back in the day. But he would be more of the one that was like, let's go do something. And if I would go into it, like, it's always your fault because you're the one who always wants to go out to eat. You're always the one that's tempting me with buying something new that we don't really need. That's not going to be a productive conversation. So if you go into it in the first place with your heart in the right place, with a loving approach, with a calm, hey, let's have this conversation, you know, that is going to be so much more productive. And I think it's really important to remember and to kind of set in your tone that this budget is, it's not a punishment. It's not a prison sentence. And so many, if your partner is the one that is more of a free spirit, they're going to feel like you're grounding them. Like you are locking them up, chaining them to this budget. They're going to feel like it's a punishment. They're going to feel like they're getting put in a timeout. They can't have any fun anymore. And if you're more of the nerd, you're more of the person that you see the potential, you see the savings, you're more numbers driven, you're going to see the potential of what it can do to your future. But your partner, their brain's not wired that way. If they're not willing to get on board with this budgeting thing, they're probably much more of a free spirit. So they're going to be feeling like it's a punishment. So take that into consideration with your wording, you know, kind of understand that they're going into this feeling like their life is not going to be fun ever again, that they're being punished. And I think it's really important to explain to them that it's not a punishment. It is simply just being intentional with their money. And this is not to say that they can never have fun again. In fact, I think it's really important, which we'll go into a little bit more in a minute, but I think that it's really important to budget in fun money, budget in date nights, budget in restaurants. Yeah, it might be a little less than what you're used to right now, but it doesn't mean that it has to go away completely. And I think that that is so important for you to know kind of going into that conversation and for you to share with them. Like, hey, this is not a prison sentence. We're just going to be more intentional with our money. And this is not to say that we never get to have fun again. We just need to be a little more intentional with how we have fun, how much fun we have, how expensive the fun is. And we can still do fun stuff together. You can still, you know, go out to lunch with your friends here and there. You can still grab a coffee on your way to work. You know, we can still go on date nights, whatever it is that they're concerned about. That can still happen. It just needs to happen maybe a little cheaper, and a little more intentionally, not just so spur of the moment. We didn't plan for this. Oh, we went out to expensive dinner and now we can't pay a certain bill or whatever, right? So go into it with that kind of mindset, that kind of heart in the first place. And then I think that one of the most important things is to remember to dream together. And I think that when we have been in survival mode for so long, and I say this a lot about setting up your own goals and your own dreams, and with your personal growth as well, but also as a couple, you know, you've been in survival mode for a long time, probably. And especially if you have kids, like you've gotten into this just, it's this mundane, like, survive, get through the day, get through the week, just pay the bills, just get the groceries, just do this with the kids, on and on and on. And it becomes this very monotonous survival mode. And maybe the spark is gone a little bit. Maybe you haven't talked about the future in a long time. You know, like when you were first dating and you talked about one day we should do this, we should travel here, we should buy this kind of house. You know, when we have kids or when we don't have kids, we'll do this and that. And, you know, and you dream together and you got excited about the future and everything felt so magical and exciting. And maybe if you've been in the survival mode for a while, that spark has kind of dimmed. And maybe you haven't talked about your dreams in a while. And I think the reason why is because not that we're not still in love and not that we're not still excited about the future. It's that the future seems kind of scary because we're not sure. Like we're not sure where we'll be in 5 years. We're not sure what age we'll retire at. We're not sure if we'll ever get to buy a house or we'll ever get to take the kids to Disney or to the Grand Canyon or wherever we used to dream about taking them. The future seems a little dark, a little scary, a little unknown. So it's not fun to talk about it anymore because the survival mode has just become so much of a trap. You know, you just kind of feel claustrophobic in this survival mode. So I think it's really important to take a deep breath and dig into that conversation. You know, start the conversation, start the discussion. Maybe over a dinner alone, maybe over coffee in the morning before the kids have woke up, or maybe a glass of wine after the kids have went to bed, maybe over a drive, maybe you're on a long drive and either the kids are preoccupied in the back seat or they fell asleep or something like that. And you kind of get those quiet moments where you're kind of, he's not going to run away. He's not going to, you know, walk out, slam the door because he doesn't want to hear what you're saying. You kind of get that moment, get that opportunity, jump on it and bring up the conversation, do it with a loving heart and just be like, goodness, you know, I've been thinking we really should, you know, think about taking that trip that we thought about taking, or what do you think about building that house that we used to talk about? Or what do you want to do when you retire? Whatever it is, you know, kind of just spark the conversation, start the conversation, get excited and dream together again. And kind of start to mold that into a goals list. And this might be something that you kind of do on your own at first, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be secretive or like you feel like, oh, you're kind of doing it behind his back. But maybe kind of jot down some of those ideas that you guys came up with during the discussion. And whether, you know, you kind of have to do it secretly or not, depending on how on board he is or how willing he is to have this conversation. Maybe it's just something that, like, as you're discussing it, you just kind of grab your phone and write it down in the notes in your phone. Start to kind of get a goals list together, even if it's just kind of a rough brainstormed list at first. Maybe ask the question of, like, you know, I've been thinking, like, if we were debt free, think about, like, what we could do with all that extra money, you know? And then, like, bring up, if we were debt free, I think I would buy such and such. What would you buy if we were debt free? Or what do you imagine, like, what we could do once our mortgage was paid off? Like, what would you want to do? You know, and just start the conversation and try to let the conversation grow from there. And then I think kind of doing your homework before you get into, like, a legit budget meeting. So maybe you kind of have, like, a dream date, like you kind of have that dream discussion on a drive or during dinner or, you know, sitting on the front porch or something like that. And then the legit goals meeting or the legit budget meeting is kind of a separate later. So you kind of, you know his goals, you know his dreams, you've shared yours. And then you kind of do your homework, I guess. You do your homework ahead of time. You kind of figure, you know, how much money would it take for us to get debt free? How much money are we spending on the interest? You know, you're doing that homework ahead of time. Think of it as like you're getting a presentation ready. You're going to go in and present it to the budgeting committee or something, you know? So you're getting your homework ready. You're kind of getting a little spreadsheet together or just some things jotted down on a piece of paper. And you know how long it could take you to get debt-free, which, side note, I will link in the show notes to the Easy Budget debt-free calculator. And it is so awesome because it is basically a spreadsheet calculator where you can go in, you can plug all your numbers in. It will tell you when you'll be debt-free. And it will also help you plug in, if we were to pay an extra $100 a month or an extra $500 a month or whatever your number is, we could be debt-free this much sooner. And it'll also give you spots on there where you can plug in if you know, like, you get a Christmas bonus or you get, like, your tax refund or something kind of irregular bonus, you can also plug those kind of numbers in, and that will help you calculate your debt-free date. And this is a super cheap tool. I think it's under $10, around $10. Sorry, I don't have it up in front of me, but I'll link to it in the show notes. And this is a really good tool for you to go in and kind of be prepared for that first budget meeting. Like, you've got your homework done. And I'll also link to my budgeting worksheets where you can get, like, a set of 14 worksheets for $14. And you can kind of have all that ready if you need to ahead of time and have that homework done. So you go into this budget meeting. I'm doing air quotes that you can't see. I don't know why I'm doing them. But you go into this budget meeting with your homework done. And you know how much money it's going to take. You know how much money you're wasting on paying interest. You know how much money is going towards debt payments. And you know, you can kind of say, like, hey, we're spending X number of dollars a month toward our credit card bills. And we're wasting X number of dollars towards interest on, you know, our student loans or our house mortgage or our car note or whatever your debt is. And then you can kind of work backwards in the sense of, like, if we were to have this much money freed up, we could do this thing. We could save this money to take the kids to the Grand Canyon or you know, buy a family boat, which is something that we did. And because one of my husband's goals was, one of his dreams when we first had this discussion, was he wanted a boat. We both grew up on the lake. We fell in love when we were living, we were both living by the lake when we were growing up. And so that was just like a big part of our heart. And we wanted that to be a part of our family story. And we wanted our kids to grow up on the lake. And we wanted a boat. And he was like, you know, I'd really like to have a boat. And I said, all right, let's put it on the goals list. And it was actually the second thing we cash flowed. Once we got debt free, we cash flowed my Suburban, because we had been sharing a vehicle for an insane amount of years, which next week's episode is actually going to be about cash flowing vehicles, paying, saving up and paying cash for vehicles. So if that's something that you're kind of curious about, I will be talking about that next week. I'm really excited to talk about that. So the first thing that we cash flowed when we were debt free was my Suburban, so we could have a second vehicle. And the second thing was a boat, which this boat is 26 years old. It was like a $5,000 boat, but it's awesome. And that was part of his dream that became my dream because it was his dream, you know? And so when I could show him on a piece of paper, look, if we pay this much money extra, we can be debt free by this time, and then we can have a boat by the spring of, what year was that? I cannot remember. we can be debt free. We can cash flow the boat by this spring, whatever year it was. It was like, I think 2 or 3 years into the future at the time. But I could show him on paper, look, if we stick to this, you can have that boat. And so anytime he would kind of be reluctant to the budget, or eventually when I would even get fed up with the budget, we would both be kind of be like, think about the boat. Think about the times that we're going to have on the boat with the kids. Think about, you know, laying out in the middle of the lake, looking at the stars. Think about, you know, packing lunches and spending the whole day out on the boat and all the fun that we're going to have. And we have the boat now. This is about to be our third spring on the boat. Our boat, actually, we just got it, we just sent it to the shop so it could be like all ready, just all tuned up and everything. And we're about to have our third spring on the boat. And it was all worth it to have those memories on the boat. So whatever your husband's dream is, whatever your dream is, whatever your family's dream is, write it down, you guys. Dream it. Be excited about it. Remind each other when you get fed up. Hey, what about the boat? What about the trip that we want to take? What about the house we want to buy? What about that vehicle that you want? My sister and brother-in-law, one of their goals right now is to get my brother-in-law a truck. He's been driving an old car, like he's been sacrificing for them, for their young family, like as they're just getting started getting married. And he's about to buy that truck, and that truck has kept them motivated on staying on their budget because he wants that truck. He knows what he's working towards, right? So you go into it and you've done your homework and you've ran the numbers, you have the numbers written out where he can see it, because if he's not on board, he doesn't want to do the numbers, or she doesn't want to do the numbers, right? Or you wouldn't be listening to this in the first place. If they're that person in the marriage, they don't want to run the numbers. They don't want all of the nerdy details like you and I probably do. I love it. I love digging into a spreadsheet. I love running the numbers. Daniel does not. He wants the overview. He wants the dashboard view of the budget. He wants to be like, hey, he wants me to tell him, we are at this percentage of our savings goal. It's looking good. This is our spending budget for the budget period until the next payday. Everything looks great. Okay. That's what he wants to hear. That's it. He wants like a quick text of an update or a quick 5-minute conversation. He doesn't want to run all the numbers. And all it's going to do is make him frustrated if I make him sit through me running numbers, tinkering with the spreadsheet for an hour. He doesn't want to do that. So don't make him. Okay? Have your numbers ready. And show him, like, if we weren't paying this debt, if we weren't wasting our money on this interest, this is what we could do. This is what we could do. And this is the date we could do it by. And I figure, you know, if we cut back our groceries or if we cut back our restaurant budget by X number of dollars, we actually can get there this much faster. Doesn't that sound awesome? Isn't that exciting? And get him excited. Show him that what your family will be gaining is going to be so much greater than the few silly, non-important things that you will be giving up. Like, yeah, you're not going to be going out to eat as much. You're not going to be splurging on random junk. But you will be gaining debt freedom. You will be gaining cash flowing things like trucks and boats and vacations. You will be actually saving for retirement, whatever your goal is, that you will be actually working towards a purpose, that you won't just be surviving. And ask him, aren't you tired of working for nothing to show for it? You come home tired, and maybe you work outside the home as well. And aren't we tired of just working just to be tired? That's it. That's all we have to show for it. We're keeping our head above water. We're not starving. Maybe we're keeping the lights on. But that's about it. Aren't you tired of just treading water? Aren't you tired of getting up every day to go to work, to come home with tired feet and a tired back and, you know, being worn out, having spent all of your day just to work with nothing to show for it? That is survival mode, right? And maybe you say all this and he's still unenthusiastic. He's still skeptical. He doesn't believe in the possibilities. He's just like, okay, you said we were going to change years ago and we didn't do it. So what makes this time any different? It's okay. Be prepared for that response. If you know how they are, you know they're going to roll their eyes, you know they're going to deep sigh about it, you know they're going to just be like, okay, whatever, and not be as excited as you are. Be prepared for that response. But it is your job to let it roll off your back. Stay positive. Show them by the progress. Show them by the progress over the next few months. Maybe you've got to keep yourself motivated right now. You know, that's why I have my Facebook community. That's why I'm here every week pumping out motivation and podcasts. And that's why I'm showing up on social media. That's why there is the debt-free community in general. On Instagram, search hashtag debt-free community. Follow people who are doing this so you don't feel alone, especially if your spouse is not on board. Because you might spend, and you will probably spend, the first few months, if not the first year, doing this kind of by yourself. You guys, it happens. It's so normal. So don't feel like, oh, everyone else is just, you know, must have this magical partner. And what is wrong with my partner? They're just not listening. You guys, it's so normal for one spouse to be on board and the other to not. But you've got to self-motivate right now in the beginning. You've got to keep pushing. You've got to stay positive. If that happens, just keep showing up. Keep showing them the progress. You know, when you cut back on your groceries and you're able to send an extra $50 or $200 or whatever it is to debt, and you shaved off an extra month off of your debt-free timeline, show them. Be excited. Share your wins. You know, and show them that there's progress being made. And maybe after you get your starter emergency fund saved, maybe after you bust your butt cutting back the budget and you're like, you finally get like $1,000 in savings, show them. You are finally able to send extra money to debt. Share that progress. Even if you get kind of disregarded with it, even if he's just like, okay, unenthusiastic about it, keep showing up. Keep self-motivating. You know why you're doing this. They will come around. I promise. Even if it takes a while. Okay. So let's kind of dig into more of the hard parts of this. And I have a few questions from some of you guys that I want to address. I had a lot of great questions that I was kind of planning on already talking about, so I didn't write down everyone's specific name. So sorry if you asked some of the questions that I just covered and I didn't jot down your name. But, you know, you've already done your homework with the rough budget, and maybe you've avoided the word budget because you know that the word budget, the terrible B word, is gonna just turn his ears off. That's okay. Maybe you're just like, hey, I took care of our money plan, or however you need to say it. I was working on the bills, however you need to say it. Now it is time to actually put it into action. So you thought the conversation was the hard part. Buckle up, friends, because now it is time to put it into action. So this is when you set up a routine. You set up a time for updating your budget that is unique to your family. So for us, I used to be really good about doing our budgets on Thursdays because our payday is on Thursday. And I just kind of found myself, the more and more that my business grew, the more and more that I'm actually homeschooling all three of the girls, not just June now, that stopping in the middle of the week kind of like that on a Thursday wasn't working, and I kept procrastinating on it. So I moved it to a weekend chore. And it's not really strict to be on a Saturday or Sunday, but I just know, hey, before the weekend's over, I need to update the budget. And obviously, like, I'll check back in throughout the week just to kind of update our spending and stuff like that. But I don't kind of do a deep dive into our budget until the weekends. So that's what works for us. It used to work better to do it on Thursdays, and every single budget period ran from Thursday to Wednesday, and that was our budget week. It doesn't matter what you do. It just matters that you decide on something and you stick to it. Okay. So just set up a routine, set up a rhythm, a time that you do it that is unique to your family, that will work with your schedule, and just pick something and stick to it, basically. So Jessica on Facebook was asking about stay-at-home dads and how to kind of handle that. And I think that it doesn't really matter if one spouse or the other is a stay-at-home parent, or if you both work outside the home. I think that it doesn't have to be the stay-at-home parent's chore to do the budget. It doesn't really matter if it's the husband or the wife. In our situation, I do stay home, and it is part of my responsibility, my chore of the marriage, of the family. But it doesn't have to be that way. Like my sister and brother-in-law, for example, I keep using them as an example because I know more details about their budget than the average person's. So they both work outside the home, and my brother-in-law is just more of the budgeting nerd, kind of. So he's the one who updates their budget. It doesn't really matter, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So in Jessica's case, if her husband is the one who stays home, he doesn't necessarily have to do the budget if that's not his forte. So if you're more of the one who is better with numbers, who enjoys it more, who's more of the nerd when it comes to the spreadsheets and all the things, even if you work outside the home, that can still be your job. So you just, you know, you do it on after work or on your day off or something like that. But I think also more of the sense, and this might have been more of Jessica's question, of if he's the one kind of doing the grocery shopping and things like that, that's kind of a whole nother, like, that's more of establishing the grocery budget. And that's more of like setting up the budget to be a specific way for your unique family. So in Jessica's case, she might be more of the one who sits down, pays the bills, decides what the spending budgets need to be. And then her husband is probably the one who goes out and actually buys the groceries, runs the errands, does the things like that. So that's more of like, hey, this is our grocery budget. And if he's not prone to sticking to the grocery budget, this is where you might want to think about doing cash for your groceries, and you kind of hand him a cash envelope. This is our grocery budget. I need you to stick to this to make all the other work in the budget that I've done work. Or, which is my next thing on my notes here to talk about, is how we separate our bills and our spending money, okay? And again, this needs to be unique for your family. So there's not really a right or wrong as long as it's working for your family. And if you get to a point where some life changes happen and it feels like it's not working anymore, change it, okay? Give yourself permission to adapt and adjust as you go through this and kind of trial and error and pick one way. And if it's not working, change it, okay? So the specific ways that you can do your spending money as a couple is you can have, you can do debit cards, and you can have a family spending money, a family spending account, which is what we have, where it's one account, but we each have debit cards to that account. So it's the same account, but if Daniel was to run out and get diesel for his truck, he has his own debit card. If I'm going and getting groceries, I have my own debit card, but it's coming out of the same account. And then we have it broken down into categories on our spreadsheet, right? Or this is better really if both of you work outside the home, or if you're both kind of spending a lot of money, if you both have your own spending money kind of situation, where you each have your completely own spending accounts. So especially like if you're both working outside the home, you know, you're getting gas pretty regularly. You're going out to lunch, you're running errands, and he is as well. So maybe you want to have your own separate spending accounts. You have, and you can even have a third family spending account. The family account is where you buy groceries. Your spending account is where you get lunch where you grab groceries, where you stop at a gas station for a snack. And then his account is where he does the same. And you can have three accounts if that works best for you. You can have two accounts. You can have a spending, a family spending account. And then if just one spouse works outside the home, they can have theirs. You know, you see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if you have one, two, or three spending accounts. Figure out what works for you. Okay? I hope that makes sense. I feel like I just kind of like muddled through that. Feel free to ask me any questions that you guys have on Facebook or Instagram, and I will be glad to clarify that. Or you can kind of have a combination of debit card and cash. You can have a family debit card account where you buy groceries, the big purchases, you know, you do your weekend fun activities, things like that. And then you each have cash for your gas money or your eating out budget or whatever it is, your fun money. It doesn't really matter how you do it. It just matters that you organize it intentionally and that you make it work. And if it's not working one way, try another way, okay? But I think the most important thing here is to agree on it. And agree on the amounts that are in it. And obviously, if your spouse is not on board, it's going to be a little more challenging in the beginning. And it kind of might be more of a, hey, I set this budget. Does that sound okay? And that's kind of how you go into it. Until they're kind of more on board, more willing to have that conversation, they're more kind of like, yeah, I can make that work with my spending. And I think the important thing is to remember that the spending amounts don't have to be equal, but they do have to be amicable, right? So just because one spouse might have a spending budget of $50. The other spouse can totally just have 20 or whatever it is. For me, I don't really go and do that much. A tank of gas could last me a month. I mean, for one, I have a Suburban, so I have a huge gas tank. But for two, I don't really drive that much. I drive to homeschool group. I drive to dance class. I drive to the grocery store. Maybe a couple of errands here and there, and I go back home. I don't use that much gas. So my gas budget doesn't need to be very high. Okay? And that's okay. So it doesn't have to be equal. It doesn't have to be like, oh, because he got $100, I need to have $100. It doesn't have to be that way. As long as it matches what you need and what you feel comfortable with. And it's an amicable budget, right? And I think it's also important to remember that it doesn't have to be all or nothing either. So what I mean by that is he doesn't have to completely stop eating lunch out, or he doesn't have to completely stop grabbing coffee or, you know, having fun, buying things for fun. You don't have to completely stop doing those things. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. And especially when they're not on board, the first thing they're going to think is, this is a trap. This is a prison sentence. They're going to feel claustrophobic in the budget and just like, I'm never going to get to go out to lunch with my work friends again. I'm never going to be able to grab a coffee on the way to work. This is going to be terrible. This is going to be terrible. they feel like they're never going to be able to buy something new for their hobby, you know, whatever their hobby is. And they're just going to be like, no, I don't want to do this because you're never going to let me buy anything again. You guys, it doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It just has to be intentional. Okay. I think that it's really important for each of you to have guilt-free spending money. He needs it as much as you do. And guilt-free spending money doesn't mean like, oh, you just get $200 to waste. It doesn't have to be an outrageous amount of money. It just has to be something. Even if it's $10, even if it's $20, it doesn't have to be a lot. But it needs to be guilt-free. You hear me on that one? Guilt-free. You need it too. Okay? And whether that is money set aside on the debit card account or if that's cash, if you hand them $40 in cash and be like, there you go, have fun. You don't have to ask any more questions. That's it. You don't have to ask for receipts. That's it. Have fun. Guilt-free. And I think that that freedom and that permission to spend is going to be an eye-opener. That mixed with the fact of when he sees that you're actually making progress with all this newfound money because you've now set up a budget and you actually know where your money is going and it feels like newfound money. And he's going to start to see that progress. He's going to see that he still gets fun money, guilt-free fun money, actually. When before, anytime he would spend money, he'd feel guilty. Maybe you guys would get in an argument or you would lecture or vice versa. You know, maybe he would lecture and say, well, you told me not to spend any money. And now, look, you went and got Starbucks. So, you know, and you keep that one-upping kind of game, which is exactly what Daniel and I used to do. He would go and blow money. And so I would go and waste money to kind of one-up him. And that's a never-ending cycle. And that's not healthy for your relationship at all or your money. It's not healthy one way or the other. So make sure that you have fun money budgeted in. Okay, however you organize that, whether it's on a debit card, a separate debit card, a family debit card, it's in cash, whatever it is, just do it. So Kelly was asking on Facebook, and I know a little bit more about Kelly's journey because Kelly has been with me in the community since practically day one. So I know the progress that her and her family have made over the past, gosh, like nearly 3 years that I've known her. But I know that the progress that she's made with her husband. So I know a little bit more detailed about their situation. But her husband is kind of more of the, he's like, okay, yeah. I get it. Okay. But then he doesn't really check back in with the budget. And he says okay, but then he doesn't really stick to it. So I think with that, that would be more of like a, here's your cash. That's it. Like, and I hate to kind of be like, you are being their mother because you're not. This should be a partnership. But I feel like if it's hurting the family in a way, like if it's a destructive amount of spending, then it needs to be controlled in a way. Not in a you're his mother kind of way, but more in a sense of like, hey, I'm managing the money. Here's your cash. This is your spending money. and, you know, like I said before, he doesn't have to sit in on every single minute that you're updating the budget spreadsheets or anything. He doesn't have to be there for all of it. Maybe he just wants a quick debriefing when you're done, and that's enough for him. Maybe he doesn't want to check back in. Maybe you just need to verbally check back in for him, and you need to kind of say, hey, we're getting to the end of our spending money, okay? You promised that you were going to stick to this, you know, last week when we set up the budget. And, you know, kind of just, maybe it just needs to be a vocal check-in, Maybe he doesn't want to check in with the bank account. Maybe it's overwhelming. You know, we all kind of have our fortes of the things that we're good at and the things that we're not. And if he's not good with numbers, if he gets overwhelmed by looking at the bank account, if he gets overwhelmed with the spreadsheet, know him, love him for how he is. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. And if that's one of his weaknesses, adapt. Which I know in Kelly's case, like, they've made so much progress in spite of all of this. And she's been very strong and very self-motivated to keep going. And she's a very good example of that you still can make progress, even if you're kind of, your husband's kind of just tagging along in the sense of the budget. It can still be done. Okay. And maybe it just needs to be a vocal check-in. Maybe he doesn't want to look at the spreadsheets or the bank account because, you know, to each his own. And if that's not his thing, then you have to love him through his strengths and his weaknesses, okay? But I think it's really important to focus on what you do have control over. And focus on any spending that you are responsible for. So if you're the person in the family who gets the groceries, if you're the person who makes sure that the bills are paid on time, those are things that you have control over. So you might not have control over the fact that he's going out to lunch every single day, or that he's grabbing coffee every single day, or that he gets a wild hair and, you know, orders a new gadget, or, you know, orders whatever, a new fishing pole or a new t-shirt or whatever it is. But you do have control over the things that you have control over. So if that's the groceries, if that's making sure the bills are paid on time, if that's allocating any extra money towards debt or towards savings, if you have control over that, then focus on that. Focus on what you can be responsible for. So you can cut back on your groceries. You know, you can make a meal plan and come up with some frugal dinners. You can shop sales. You can cut coupons. You can be really intentional with what you do buy. You can make sure the bills are paid on time. You can make sure that extra money goes towards that debt item that you're trying to knock out. You can call and get your bills lowered. You can cut back your cell phone plan, or cut back your cable plan, or cut TV out altogether, you know, whatever you do have control over. And let that extra money make progress. And then show him, hey, I've cut back the grocery budget. And look, I threw this money at this credit card, and now our debt-free date has just moved up 3 months. Isn't that cool? And hopefully, eventually, he will see that progress. And he will start to get on board. Or one of the things that you can do is you can look for things around the house that you don't need anymore and sell them. You know, you can start cleaning out the closets, selling your clothes on Poshmark or on eBay or on Facebook Marketplace. You can, you know, dig through the kids' old toys, or maybe you have like craft supplies or something that you don't use anymore that you can bundle up and sell on Facebook. Or you have an old collection of something that you can sell on eBay. You get the idea. You can find things around the house to sell, and you can be intentional with that extra money. Or you can start a side hustle. Those are things you have control over. You can work overtime, you can work on the weekends, you can start babysitting, you can start pet sitting, you can clean houses. Like, there are so many things that you can do that you have control over. Even if he's not on board at all, you do you. Like, you do what you can do. If that's all you can do, that's still something. Yeah, your progress might be slower than the families who both spouses are on board. That's them. Let them worry about them. You worry about you. Your story is going to be unique to you. And if you have to do this journey for a year without his support, do it. That maybe that's just the hand you were dealt. Maybe you've tried, you've went into it lovingly. You've showed him the numbers and he's still, you know, kind of, I keep referring to Kelly's story. Kelly's been doing this for 3 years. Bless her heart. Her husband's still just kind of dragging his feet. He's grown a lot in the journey, but he's still kind of dragging his feet about it. You know what? And Kelly keeps going, and she's made amazing progress for her family, for her boys. She's done great things. And if she can do it, you can do it. And she still has a journey to go, but he's slowly coming around. He's better. He's more on board than he used to be. That might be your story. And that's okay. You can do what you can do, you know? And you can take all of that extra money. You can throw it at debt. You can save it. And you can show him how much progress you've made, how much progress an extra $20 here or an extra $100 there makes. And after a few months, hopefully, he will start to see the progress, okay? But I think that it's really important to remember that change is hard and it is scary. And some people aren't as willing to change or grow. I prefer to think of it as growing because you don't really want to change them. You do love them the way you are. Like my husband, for example, I love that he's free spirited. I love that he's the fun one. I love that he's the spur of the moment. Let's go do this thing. That's him. And I love him for that. So I don't necessarily want to change his free spiritedness. I just want his heart to grow, to know that we can't be free spirited to the point of hurting our family. Okay. And the toys that we want to buy, the luxuries that we want to buy are going to be more substantial than ordering a random t-shirt just because you thought it looked cool. That we would rather be intentional with our money and save up to buy a boat. Okay? And I want his heart to grow in that way. So have compassion. Love him where he is right now on his journey and realize that this is his journey too. And his journey is going to look a little different than yours, even though you're kind of doing this journey together, right? So have compassion. Realize that this might be hard for him. This might be scary for him. He might not see the potential like you see. And love him through it, okay? Don't belittle him. Don't say, well, it's your fault. You know, don't be disrespectful to him. Love him through it. Give him time to adjust. He might take longer to get on board than you did. That's okay. You don't have to be the same person. Show him love through this. Show him grace through this. Stay upbeat with it. Stay positive with it. Share progress that you've made. Maybe you don't have to show him all the nitty-gritty details of your budget because he doesn't want to hear it. That's just going to turn him off to it. That's okay. Share the wins. Okay? No one changes at the snap of a finger. There was at one point where you probably weren't on board with budgeting. Did you just snap and change overnight? Did you just snap and be on board with this? Probably not. Your change just happened earlier than his did. Maybe faster. Okay? So realize that it is going to take time. And maybe he's made a lot of mistakes. You've probably made a lot of mistakes too financially. No one wants their mistakes to be brought back to light, to be brought up over and over again. Okay. It's like, what's the saying? Rubbing sand in a wound or rubbing dirt in a wound. I butchered that metaphor. Yeah. Okay. But we all have these wounds and we don't want to be reminded of them. We don't want to be reminded of the ways that we've made mistakes. We don't want to be reminded that we've hurt our family. We don't want to be reminded of that. So love him through it. Okay. Be positive. Be upbeat. Show him that we're not playing the blame game. Hey, it's not your fault. It's not my fault. It happened. It's part of our story. We've all made mistakes. But we're going to love each other through it and we're going to grow. And you guys, when you do this, your marriage is going to grow because you've loved each other through a very hard time in your journey. And when you look back, it'll all have been worth it. Okay. Even if you have to do a few months or a couple of years kind of on your own, that's okay. Be the leader. Be strong enough and brave enough to go first. Someone has to go first. And that might be you right now. Okay? But you see it. You see the potential. You see the future. So run with it. Ask him about his dreams. Share the progress. You guys, that's all we can do. Love him through it. Okay? I hope that that's helpful. I know that I'm not a marriage expert. All I know is what I know. All I know is what I've experienced. All I know is what you guys have shared with me through your unique journeys. So I'm not a marriage counselor. So I was kind of hesitant to speak on this topic because of that, because I know that marriage is such a sensitive topic and it's so important. But I hope that that was helpful. I hope that you can at least take something from this conversation and apply it to your own marriage, your own journey, your own family, and that it is helpful to you. You guys, please continue to share. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think of the show in general or this episode. Hop over to Facebook or Instagram. Leave me a comment on the post for this episode and let me know what was your biggest takeaway. What thing hit home the most for you? Let's have a conversation. So this isn't just a one-way conversation. This actually turns into a conversation. So let me know in the comments on Facebook and Instagram, you know, what you thought, what hit home, what was your biggest takeaway, all that kind of stuff. And remember to keep sharing, especially this episode. Someone's going to read the title and think, yes, yes, this is something I need. And you never know what kind of effect you can have on someone else's journey as well as you're going. Okay. You guys, I appreciate your love and support so much. I appreciate you hanging out with me for this past hour. And I hope that that was helpful to you guys. Remember, to check out the show notes for everything that I mentioned. Next week, we're going to be talking about cash flowing vehicles. I'm really excited to jump into that topic. So I will talk to you guys next week. Bye guys.